WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. Another wave of Iranian missile attacks on Israel has begun. Buildings near Tel Aviv were hit earlier. CBS's Olivia Gussis on comments by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
He was very careful to specify that the targets that the Israelis have gone after thus far were military in nature, were nuclear scientists related to the nuclear program. Although there are reports of civilian casualties, there have been no civilian targets thus far that we are aware of involved in the Israelis' campaign.
Retired U.S. Army General Randy Manner.
No one benefits from having aviation and shipping interrupted by war. And therefore, it is in the best interests of all that this be de-escalated as quickly as possible.
CBS's Jason Brooks.
Stocks slumped while the price of crude soared to its highest level since January on concerns that global oil supplies could be impacted by the Middle East fighting.
CBS News special report. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Republican-controlled Joint Finance Committee has adopted a motion proposing $1.3 billion in tax cuts in the state's next biennial budget. The tax cuts would primarily target retired residents and married residents filing jointly. Republicans say the cuts are meant to keep residents in the state and give back for contributing to the state's strong economy. Democrats on the committee voted against the motions, saying the adopted investments were much less than those proposed by Governor Tony Evers. The motions passed along party lines. Wisconsin Republicans are still working to limit the governor's partial veto power after failing to do it in court. On Wednesday, lawmakers testified on their proposed resolution seeking an amendment to the state constitution to limit the governor's veto power to only full sections of an appropriations bill or to reduce spending. In order to make the change in the state constitution, the resolution needs to pass in consecutive legislative sessions and be put on a ballot referendum. Currently, the governor has the power to veto numbers, words, and punctuation in spending bills. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is warning western Wisconsin residents that spongy moth treatment flights will continue through July. According to a press release, the small yellow planes will be applying a pheromone to treetops in an effort to prevent the invasive species from reproducing. The treatment will be sprayed in a number of western Wisconsin counties, including Barron, Dunn, Polk, and St. Croix. Flight times and locations will be determined by weather conditions and the development of the spongy moths. City of Menominee officials are reminding area residents that Phase 2 of the Pine Avenue construction project is set to get underway on Monday. According to a social media post, Phase 2 of the project will require the closure of Pine Avenue from Game Park Road to the Wakanda Elementary School driveway. Pine Avenue will remain open from the driveway to Wilson Street, and a signed detour will be posted directing traffic to John Russell Road, Game Park Road, and 21st Avenue. The Maple Avenue entrance to Wakanda Park will also remain open. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers battle the Cards.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball. Game 2 of the 4-game series tonight as the Crew host the Cardinals. Milwaukee with a 6-0 win last night thanks to the debut of 23-year-old Jacob Mizorowski on the mound, who lasted until the 6th before battling leg cramps.
Of course, I don't want to leave like that. I feel like I could have kept going, but, you know, cramped up and stuff happens.
Manager Pat Murphy.
I think it just came on in between innings there. He had that long inning. He thought it was okay. He went out there. It's in his thigh and in his calf, and he twisted his ankle a little bit on that. It started to lock up on him. We just didn't want to chance anything, you know.
NFL Packers minicamp wrapping up in Green Bay.
The thing that's most positive, I would say, for the most part, we had pretty good attendance. We had the majority of our guys here for the duration. And I think that it's been fun to kind of watch how these guys grow, especially guys maybe going in their second year. They're so much further along than they were a year ago.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight, few showers and thunderstorms, and lows around 50 to the low 50s. For tomorrow, more clouds than sun, high in the low 70s, and a couple of storms popping up. Upper 70s Sunday, isolated storms. It's 55 right now.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin,
chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right? You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will recap all the news from over the weekend and wrap it up with audio sorbet and This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allbaugh Show.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabach, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who once planted evidence so he could make a citizen's arrest, Pete Schwabach.
Welcome to Nightlight. Ladies and gentlemen, happy Friday, everybody. Great to have you with me. Joining me on this overcast, downright chilly, Wisconsin evening. I hope it's nicer where you are, but down here in our, over here, out here, up here in downtown Green Bay, it is blustery. And we got to muscle through tonight. Hopefully it'll be nicer this weekend for Father's Day. Happy Father's Day ahead of time to all the dads out there that might be listening. It's an important job and at times thankless. But keeping the faith, folks. Dad's tip of the hat. Conrad is riding shotgun as usual. Do you have a nice Father's Day message for your dad, Conrad?
I do. Yeah. And he's not really the Facebook type of person, but I'm sure my mom will show him.
I'm sure he has good qualities too, though.
Yeah. The Facebook thing is understandable, but...
Yeah.
So my mom, I think, will show him. You know, whenever the message goes out, yeah.
But he listens. He texts the show, right?
Yeah. But I'm saying whenever Amanda posts that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
So we had some fun in the studio today, didn't we?
We did. We had Todd Allbaugh was here.
Yeah.
It was fun to be a guest on Todd's show. We have him on Nightlight quite a bit, and he's had me on several times. I always enjoy hanging out with Todd. And... yeah, you were here. You produced that show, too, or helped produce it, I suppose.
They started the show with having Mino and the Mayor.
Really?
Yeah.
At 2 o'clock?
Yep.
What were those guys still doing here?
They went home, and then they came back.
Oh, to be a guest on the show?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I thought they were, like, loitering or something. I don't. That's kind
of
fun.
They were waiting for the showers to open.
And we've got more stuff going on. We've got, it's a new Wisco weekend, like they all are. Lisa Hale hosts, and does a great job with new Wisco weekend. I have a classic movie pick. Do you have anything in the show this weekend?
Not this week, but I'm hoping next week to have an interview, but I'm going to keep that under wraps.
All right. Well, that's exciting. Good luck. And I have a classic movie pick, which I'm very excited about. I sort of have a Flag Day. Well, the whole episode has a Flag Day theme, and I picked a movie that I think kind of plays along with Flag Day. I like to do that whenever I can. And Kristen Lyerly show is on. I think I'm on that show this weekend, right?
Isn't you are.
Yeah. So Kristen and I will have fun. Check into Dr. Kristen Lyerly's talker, if you will, this weekend. You have two chances to listen on Saturday and Sunday at 3 p.m. Kristen does a great job. So, and we've got a fun show tonight. We've got a lot to get to, as usual. Friday is jam-packed. Starting us off at 6:35, actress and horror film fan, UP actress, I should say, Stephanie Gernow will be joining us here over the stream at 6:35. She's going to talk about a couple movies she's working on currently and that will be out soon. So we'll talk to Stephanie. She makes it all happen from Upper Michigan. I don't know. That's got to be... You know, I think we had a comedian, Jessica Phillips, on the show months ago, and I did a gig with Jessica, who lives in Houghton, Michigan. And folks, if you're a stand-up comedian, or in Stephanie's case, an actress, there is some driving and some travel involved. And those are very remote places. Stephanie is based out of Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. Beautiful area. But man, that adds some challenges to a career as a working actress. But Stephanie will be here to tell us all about it at 6:35, as well as two new cool horror films she's in that will be out soon. And then at 7:05, comedian Steve Hofstetter will join us for a bit. Steve is a very funny guy, very hardworking comedian, and I really enjoy his comedy. He did a dry bar special. He's been on Fox Sports. I think he's won a Nobel Peace Prize, if I got that right, for comedy charity work. It's a very specific category, but what a cool thing. You ever won a Nobel Peace Prize, Conrad?
In my previous life.
Yeah. Prove it.
Well, I don't know if I can.
I don't believe. No, he's nominated. Okay, Steve was nominated. Oh, never mind. Nominated. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'd take a nomination for anything. But Steve will be here at 7:05. He's performing in Appleton this weekend. So we'll get the details. And as I understand it, there are still a few seats open, but not many, because Steve packs them in. So he'll be here at 7:05. And then it is a bar band Friday night, ladies and gentlemen. Terry Barr is still on vacation. I think she is into maternity leave time at this point, but she is. This is her third Friday. She will not be with us. We miss Terry desperately, but her vacation is well earned. And filling in like he did the last couple weeks will be Rocker, her Max Inc. Radio co-host. And Rocker's always fun to talk to as well on a Barman Friday night. So there you go. That's a show. Let's not waste any more time, Conrad. Let's get to the question of the night, shall we?
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
In honor of Father's Day, who is the best movie or TV dad? You can say who you'd want to be your dad, or who you think was the best out of the dads you saw. Obviously, your own fathers are most likely irreplaceable, but if you had to... In honor of Father's Day, who was the best movie or TV dad? I think, it's weird. I usually give the question some thought. I really didn't tonight. So I'm going to kind of ruminate a little bit on this. I have a couple that come to mind. But we put the question out there. It's 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can text us on the app. Very easy. We're on statewide, so just click any of the stations. Are there Brewer games on tonight, Conrad? Are we preempted in any of the smaller markets?
I believe so.
Do we know which ones? Let's go to the Google, because I would love to hear from people on the app. But if you're watching on the stream, hey, that's fun too, folks. You can watch the radio. I'm wearing a really spiffy shirt tonight. I got my eyeglasses on, and I did not shave. So
I like it.
Yeah. Remember the should Pete grow a beard question? I'm almost in that territory right now.
Oh.
But I don't think I'm going to.
You know,
do that. I can't compete with Todd Michaels.
My old razor broke, and it had a good length. It was.
What do you mean? Your razor, the
electric razor. My electric razor broke. You know, and it was getting to that time. Like it would take me about. I mean, you've seen me with a little more facial hair.
Yeah.
And you don't think that'd take long to shave, right?
Right.
it almost took an hour with that thing.
It does with that old weed whacker.
So I spent a little change and I bought a new one. And it took me 10 minutes.
Why 10 minutes? That's a long time, right?
Not really.
For you use an electric razor and it takes you 10 minutes?
Before, it took me an hour.
To shave your face?
That's how bad it was.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And now it only takes me about 10 minutes to get that really clean shave.
I got to be honest. I've never tried one of those.
Oh, my dad showed me. Well, he let me use his, you know. When I started growing facial hair.
Yeah.
I like that way better than actually using a regular razor.
Interesting. I've always done the wet shave.
Really?
Always. And it takes me about 3 minutes to put shaving cream on and go to town. And I don't, that surprises me. Even 10 minutes. That's because I thought about making the switch because it seemed easier and faster, but not according to what you're saying.
Well, you know, I'd say give it a try.
All right.
Because
I'll be over after the show. I'd like to borrow your...
No, you don't.
It's very personal.
Yes.
Yeah. So, well, okay. That's a nice dad moment, though, speaking of Father's Day. Yes. And I remember I taught my son Joe to shave, and we have a picture of him holding the razor, and it was a very monumentous occasion in our house. That was fun. I don't know that my dad ever taught me to shave. He's very handy. He's rewired things. He's moved walls around in our house, but he never taught me any of that stuff. And he never taught me how to shave. I think I had to ask the neighbor to play catch. You know what? Come to think of it, I'm not really a fan of my father.
Wow. All right.
He's a good guy. He's got his good qualities. He did. I got none of his handy genes, though, and he never forced me to do it. And frankly, if he had, I would have probably resented him. So,
you know what? One of the genes I didn't get from my dad. So my dad relaxes from work by cleaning.
Oh, dear.
I didn't get that.
Yeah.
I absolutely hate cleaning.
I don't mind it. When I put on headphones or I'll put some YouTube videos on, and I like to do it before I relax, like, but I'm not, I don't think when I was your age, I don't think I did either.
Oh, no. No.
Like, I was already living with my wife at the time, and she'd be like, you expect me to clean all this? And I'm like, no, I don't. It just doesn't bother me. Have a seat. Let's watch some color television. We'll clean it when we're ready. I don't know.
Yeah, those dishes don't bother me right now. It's all right.
Yeah, exactly. But I've changed. I've evolved, as they say. So that is our question, folks. In honor of Father's Day, who was the best movie or TV dad? Let us know. You can let us know on the stream. If you happen to be watching the radio, you can check us out on YouTube, X, Twitter, or Facebook. So be good to have you. Please chime in. We've got some great some comments we'll get to in just a minute. I want you to tell the story that you had today. You had an issue at a gas station with two old coots, and I've had similar. Here, I'm going to tell you how I handled it when I was your age and how I handle it now. So you go tell me what happened, because this is a good story.
Well, I had to go to Quick Trip.
You didn't have to.
As usual.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to get gas so I didn't have to do it tomorrow morning when I was driving to Milwaukee.
Okay.
And I pay inside because I had some cash, and I opened the door for these two ladies behind me. One was a little older. One I probably was her daughter.
Okay.
And they're waiting by the door, and I'm like, all right, I'll hold the door open for them. So I open the door. They don't even look at me. They walk right past. They don't even say thank you. So I close the door, and I just shake my head.
You gave him the head shake.
Just walking to my car, I was like, well,
what else can you do? Though?
How hard is it to say, hey, thank you?
Right. Some people think they're owed it. And what can you do? They're two old women. What do you, you can give, the head shake is about all you can do. You can't leg sweep them. You know, you can't, you know, give them a, it's just, I feel like some people feel like they're entitled to that. Like, well, I'm old, or I have a disability, or I'm just a jerk. Some people walk through like you're there to hold the door for them. I will say, when I was your age, it used to bother me more than it does now. I had an epiphany at one point where I was like, I'm not holding the door open for praise. I'm doing it because I want to be that kind of person that just tries to make someone's life that little bit much easier. But I say that, and there's been times I wanted to get people in a headlock.
I was just trying to be nice. All right. It's okay to be just a simple thank you. You're like, all right, you're welcome.
I don't know. Maybe they both thought the other was going to do it. Neither one of them did. hey, we've got some texts I want to get to from last night's show. I always try to let, I try not to miss any texts, but we've had a couple here, and we were outside last night. Things got out of hand with the Papa Murphy's pizzas we were cooking on the grill. They were dynamite. Check out the chicken Thai. I think it was the chicken Thai pizza that was the best. So we had where are my texts here, Conrad? What am I looking for here? We've got...
Well, when we were outside last night...
Yeah.
Steady Eddie chimed in a little too late.
Oh, there it is. Okay, I got it.
When we were already outside, it's kind of hard to...
I don't know if we would have got to that. It came in at 7:57. That's cutting close.
Exactly.
Especially for the length, typically. The thought that Steady Eddie puts into his texts. He says, Pete, back in the day, late 60s, Tiny Tim became cultural TV and musical sensation, taking the 1925 song Tiptoe Through the Tulips to number 17 on the top 40 charts. Great memory, Steady Eddie. He got married on Johnny Carson's show. Tiny Tim was a strange-looking man with a high and annoying singing voice. A strange man with little talent or creativity. So what I'm really saying, Pete, is that I still have a chance to be a cultural icon and bring home some serious cash. Steady Eddie, Tiny Tim died on stage in 1996. That's a great text. All right, we'll read Bud from Janesville's text that we got overnight. And I'm going to tell you folks what movie set had the most cocaine in the 80s. It might surprise you. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
All my instincts, they return.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Tarrant County, Texas County Commissioners approved a new county redistricting map June 3rd, diluting the votes of Black and Hispanic voters. But commissioners claim the gerrymandering was for political, not racial reasons. The map likely eliminates a majority-minority district and has drawn widespread condemnation and a Voting Rights Act lawsuit. County Commissioners and senior county official Judge Tim O'Hare brought in the Conservative Public Interest Legal Foundation and the National Republican Redistricting Trust to draw the map, according to reporting by Democracy Docket. Their efforts apparently manipulated the districts to gain another GOP county commission seat and a 4-to-1 advantage. Analysis by the UCLA Voting Rights Project and Southern Methodist University found the approved map packed District 2 Black and Hispanic voters into District 1, reducing the chance a Black or Hispanic candidate would be elected in District 2. Because the county staggers election cycles for different districts, it also disenfranchised as many as 150,000 voters, heavily Black and Hispanic, who can't vote in their current district's 2026 election and must wait until 2028. Voters sued under the VRA and the 14th and 15th Amendments. The commissioners claimed that they gerrymandered for political advantage, to which the Supreme Court turns a blind eye, and not racial discrimination. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
All right, time to visit with Melissa Baldoff as we talk climate issues. Acting FEMA chief told staff he didn't know about U.S. hurricane seasons.
What?
Speechless too.
I mean,
I love it. We're all just sitting here like, what?
If it is a joke, and I don't know that it is, it's not a funny one. We've seen more deadly hurricanes, so we have every reason to expect it will be a bad hurricane season.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's a Friday edition of Nightlight here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am Pete Schwabe. Great to have you with me. Conrad is sitting in the producer chair, and he's not just sitting there. He's actually producing, so that's good.
You know, I do have a pick for this question.
For the dad?
Brian Mills.
Is that the dog from Family Guy?
that's Brian Griffin.
Who's Brian Mills?
Oh, come on. Taken. Liam Neeson.
Yeah, that's a good dad. Certainly protective. Yeah, I don't know. I want to read the text we have, but these are from last night where our question was, whose fame do you just not get? And I don't want to let these go. This one surprised me. Greg Schwemm, syndicated columnist for Tribune Media Services. He's been on the show several times. He says, Owen Wilson. That's interesting. I like Owen Wilson. I think he's kind of quirky. But, I get it. Everything's subjective. Joel Karnick, Civic Media's own, says Charo. I don't disagree with you, Joel. I actually kind of do, because she is really talented. She's vivacious and likable. But the only thing I would say in counter to what you're saying, Joel, is that she's a really good classical guitarist. And she's been on Nightlight. So I'm loyal. Thanks, Joel. Alan Whitebird says Pete Davidson. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I don't know what Pete Davidson really does. I know he was on Saturday Night Live. He's a stand-up comic. He did his own movie, but he's kind of seems like he's segueing into that I'm just a celebrity status, and nobody really knows what his exact skill is. You like Pete Davis, Con? Pete Davidson. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I don't mind him.
Okay. Alan Whitebird on social media. That's his celebrity. He doesn't understand. We have a phone call.
Yes, we do. This is Carmella from Milwaukee.
Carmella, how are you tonight?
Hey, I'm great, especially now that I get to talk to you.
Oh, you're just a big sweet talker. It's great to have you. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I couldn't think of any dads. And then you said movies, and then I asked, it could be TV shows. But then I thought maybe Father of the Bride, Steve Martin's character.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
And then I wanted to add about the holding the door thing. And it goes both ways. I especially a Quick Trip. I swear I'm at Quick Trip every day, at least once a day.
Like most people. And,
yeah, I know. And I also try to hold the door. And I do the eye roll, like, when I get some young whippersnapper. But it's not always young people, too. And then, I swear, sometimes I'm holding the door for, like, 2 minutes. And it's like, okay, all right, next. Here we go. That's okay.
That's the worst. When you get, it turns into, like, rush hour, everybody leaving. And somehow you get designated the door holder for, like, 5 minutes. And you got a life to lead. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's
all right,
awesome.
Have a lovely day.
You
That's
too. Thank you, Carmella. Have a great night. I'm going to say, all right, here's my dad's. I have three. Howard Cunningham from Happy Days. He could be a little crabby, but he was always there. And he just seemed real. Like, he wasn't a fantasy dad, like just the guy who's always the greatest guy. He, you know, ran a small hardware store. He could be kind of cranky at night. He argued with his wife sometimes. But at the end of the day, just a great dad. I actually have four. Phil Dunphy from Modern Family. Love Phil.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of wishy-washy, kind of wussy a little bit, but just a good guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. James Evans Sr. from Good Times, played by John Amos. Loved him. A real kind of a hard guy when he had to be, but also kind of a big softy. Raising his family in the Cabrini Green housing projects in Chicago. Was always there, well, until they killed off his character. But loved James Evans Sr. And then, of course, Homer Simpson. Homer Simpson is another, just a knucklehead with a very low IQ, but a good dad at the end of the day. And funny. What about you, Con?
You know, Homer does choke out his son a lot, though.
Look, the guy's got his quirks. Okay. hey, we have a, do you have a dad? Oh, you already said that. Yeah.
For a TV show?
Either one.
I would say I really found him funny, and it's Ross and Monica's dad in,
oh,
in
Elliot
Friends,
Gould.
Yeah,
he was very funny.
Yeah,
our little harmonica. Funny. Yeah, he was a funny funny dad. All right, so I teased this before the break, so we need to play it. I was just scrolling through Instagram. Anderson Cooper is interviewing Barry Diller, one of the most famous TV and movie executives ever. And this was their conversation about coked up movie sets. And I just got the biggest kick out of this, and it surprised me.
Most coked up film set.
Coked up film set? Oh, Popeye. No, you can watch. By the way, you can watch it. If you watch Popeye, you're watching a movie that you think of it in you know, the thing they used to do about record speeds, 33, whatever. This is a movie that runs at 78 RPM and 33 speed. It is a coke.
You visited the set. And
I did.
And you would instantly knew everybody's coked up.
You knew it. You couldn't escape it. They were actually shipping in film cans at the time. That film cans would be sent back to L.A. For daily processing the film. This was shot in Malta. And we found out that the film cans were actually being used to ship cocaine back and forth to this set.
Wow.
Everyone was stoned.
The cocaine has always frightened the living daylights out of me. Ever since Len Bias died, like, I think he had just gotten drafted by the Boston Celtics. It always freaked me out. Never wanted to go anywhere near it. But that story did crack me up. We have a guest on Monday, folks, Phil Krause. He owns the Time Community Theater in Oshkosh. And I told him I would give a shout out because he's coming on the show on Monday. But they're playing The Magnificent Seven at the Time Community Theater in Oshkosh on Father's Day. The 2016 version with Jonathan Joss, who was just killed, actually, by a gunman. Jonathan Joss was, I'm already blanking. What show is he on? I got to pull up Phil's text. But anyway, The Magnificent Seven, 2016, Great film. Check it out at the Time Community Theater in Oshkosh if you're looking for Father's Day plans. When we come back, horror film extraordinaire personality and actress Stephanie Gurnall will be here. It's Pete Schwabe and Nightlight. We are coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
She's somehow closer now. Softly smile, I know she must be kind.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Health officials are reminding residents to be on the lookout for bacteria and algae blooms as the weather starts to warm up enough to get in the water. Higher temperatures and more sunlight during this time of year increases algae blooms, especially in standing water. While residents are out and about this summer, they should remember to stay out of the water if something looks or smells off. They can also check an interactive map on the Department of Natural Resources website for up-to-date information on the hundreds of lakes and beaches they monitor. A new report by the Wisconsin Policy Forum found Wisconsin gets less funding per resident from the federal government than almost any other state. The report, based on 2022 federal tax data, found that Wisconsin ranked 41st in the country for the amount of federal funding received per resident. In total, the state received an average of a little less than $15,000 of federal funding per resident. While Wisconsin ranks towards the bottom of that list, experts are still warning that further federal budget cuts could have a significant impact on the state. United Way, St. Croix, and Red Cedar Valleys has announced $180,000 in grant funding to nonprofits across northwest Wisconsin. The community impact grants will be distributed to 30 nonprofits serving residents in Burnett, Dunn, Pepin, Pierce, Polk, and St. Croix counties. The funding is meant to improve the lives of ALICE families, meaning asset-limited, income-constrained, and employed families. A full list of the nonprofits that received a portion of the grant funding is available on the United Way, St. Croix, and Red Cedar Valleys website. A Chippewa County nonprofit will reduce its services this year amid significant funding cuts. Officials from RiverSource Family Center say the organization is primarily funded by grants, as well as donations from foundations and local residents. With the end of grant funding from the American Rescue Plan Act, the organization will lose about $130,000 of funding. They have also received less funding from United Way this year. Organization officials are looking for alternative grant funding sources, as well as community donations. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. 62-year-old Tom Cruise said recently he wanted to act into his 100s. It sounded crazy at first, but just yesterday, 99-year-old Mel Brooks just announced he is bringing back Spaceballs. Brooks will produce the film with Josh Gad, but will also be part of the cast and play a character called Yogurt, parodying the Yoda character from Star Wars. Brooks has not appeared on screen since 2005 when he appeared in the reboot of The Producers. Brooks wrote and also starred in the original Spaceballs in 1987 alongside John Candy and Rick Moranis, and a host of other hilarious people. There is no supporting cast announced just yet for the new project, although Gad is expected to be one of the stars. In the original, Brooks, who was just a spry 55-year-old, played General Scroob. The new script has no title as of yet, but Amazon MGM is planning a theatrical release for summer 2027, when Brooks will be the ripe young age of 101. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight, few showers and thunderstorms, and lows around 50 to the low 50s. For tomorrow, more clouds than sun, high in the low 70s, and a couple of storms popping up. Upper 70s Sunday, isolated storms. It's 55 right now.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
State's Eric Kelder Royce.
The vast majority of people on Medicaid are already working, and it is Medicaid that makes it possible for them to work. People who are disabled or have chronic illnesses and without that health care, they would be out of the workforce. They would have no ability to participate in the economy, and now they can. Medicaid is one of the greatest workforce programs this country has ever built, and they are trying to dismantle it, and with it, they're going to take people's lives and economic security.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life.
I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll talk with Tom Kircher of Wisconsin Watch about the weekend headlines and also check in with Clean Wisconsin on Pollinator Month. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Hey, this is Adam Brody, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwab on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Down, down, down.
Welcome back. So great to have you with me on this Friday night, folks. Friday the 13th, as we head into the weekend with some just absolutely lovely weather, at least here in the studio. Wanted to read a text we got last night, too, from Bud. Bud is out delivering papers between 4 and 6 a.m. down in the Madison area. And he says, hey, Pete and Conrad. And the reason I said that was because he listens to the rebroadcast. You ever listen to the rebroadcast, Conrad?
I don't say that I'm up that early, so.
Well, thanks a lot. Thought you were serious about the show. Okay. Bud says, hey, Pete and Conrad, I don't get rappers. This is in response to our question last night, like, whose celebrity do you not understand? He says, I watched Kendrick Lamar's halftime performance, and first of all, I couldn't understand him, and second, there doesn't seem to be much musicianship involved. Now, get off my lawn. Love the show. Bud from Janesville. Thank you, Bud. You know what? It's interesting. I have actually become a Kendrick Lamar fan since that halftime show. My kids are both into Kendrick, and I totally get him now. And I would say the same for a lot of performers. You can't understand what they're saying, so I don't know that it was definitely a rap thing or whatever. It's just, you know, people get into playing the part and all that kind of stuff. Like, I know all of Springsteen's lyrics because I know and love Springsteen, but I don't know that I would know everything anybody is saying. But, yeah, I get that, Bud. I don't know a ton about rap either, but thank you for the text and drive carefully out there and we will stay off your lawn. Okay. One more thing before we get to our guest, Conrad. Cam earlier texted this in. I thought this was great. We've been talking lately about, you know, I celebrate colored television, folks.
Yep.
And movies. I love it. I'm an inside guy. I love everything about entertainment. I love movies, TV, yada, yada. So I say, let's celebrate ourselves. And I have referred to listeners of Nightlight previously as, I still can't even say it, couch potatoes. So this is what Cam, one of our listeners, put together. I just love this. Conrad's going to post it in the stream right now. That's horrifying. And you know what that is? Look at how straight my hair is.
Yeah, it's definitely not that way.
It's my face superimposed on a potato. It's a couch potato. And what happened was, on Facebook, my daughter, at the beginning of COVID, I let her straighten my hair if she let me watch John Prine videos, because John Prine was one of the first casualties of COVID. So she straightened my hair and we posed for a picture together in the mirror. And that's the picture. So Cam found the picture of me with straight hair, which is, I don't know. Thank you, Cam. I think that's not a good picture, but it's better than my high school graduation picture. I will say that. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to pivot here and talk about some acting. Primarily in horror films. My next guest has never been on the show before, but I thank God for social media because every once in a while someone pops up as a friend suggestion and I'm like, oh, an actress. Oh my gosh, from the UP. So I had to send a friend request and try to get her on the show. And we did just that. Stephanie Gurnow joins me now on Nightlight. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Pete. Thanks so much for having me.
I am in awe of you because you live... so far, like where I live in Marinette, first of all, I think I told you this in our exchange. Every time I see someone from the UP, I'm like, oh my God, I live right across the river from the UP. Well, the UP is giant. It's like,
yes,
you're like 6 hours from me or whatever it is.
So, yeah, all the way on the eastern side. Canada's my backyard. So.
That is great. Because there's a Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, and then one in Canada too, right?
Yep, that's okay. Right.
So, yeah. All right. So tell us a little bit about yourself. How you're an actor. How did you get into this racket? And how do you make it work from Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan?
Yeah. Okay. So I've been acting since I was in high school. I'm 35 years old. So, you know, a long time. Yeah. But I did a lot of stage theater. And actually, I hadn't got introduced into film until 2 years ago. One of my friends that I did stage acting with, they decided they were going to just make a movie here in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. Nice. Called Killer Cabbage. And so that was my first step into, you know, the actual film life. And that was a really fun movie to do. I play a reporter, and it's set, like, it's the only part of the film that, like, goes back to black and white. And we do, like, the old timey, like, the detective shows, almost
like a film noir type.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nice. So it gives that little bit of throwback, but it's about killer cabbages that come to Earth and try to take over.
So, <I love it. laughs>
yeah. And so that just kind of started the whole snowball from there. There were a couple of people involved in that project that loved it so much. They also wanted to try their hand at filmmaking. So there was another project that was done last year called You for Frankenstein.
Yes.
And that is in post-production right now. It should be almost ready, but that's going to show throughout UP theaters. So I'm really nice. Excited to, yeah. Yeah. So we're trying to, like, put the UP on the map. Like, we do exist up here.
It's, yeah, and it's such a great place to film. I mean, there's so many, right. I mean, you can't really do a big city thing, but, like, it's so beautiful up there, and you've got the lakes, and you've got the forest, yeah. And there have been some great, like, Anatomy of a Murder was filmed up in Marquette, and yes. So I think it's great, and why not the UP? So, all right, so you've got this film, Killer Cabbage. Have you ever heard of a film called The Giant Spider Invasion?
I have. Yeah. Okay. I'm a huge fan of B movies. I love indie film, and I love that they just, like, go outside the box, but go ahead.
Well, I was just asking because this Killer Cabbage kind of reminds me of, you know, just sort of like the Giant Spider Invasion was in the mid 70s, and we've had the director on the show before. And I love like you said, I like the B movies too. And Killer Cabbage, Youper Frankenstein, though. Please tell us what Youper Frankenstein is.
So Youper Frankenstein is kind of our take on the classic Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. It is about a scientist whose wife tragically dies in a lab accident. And the scientist is trying to master the art of reanimation. My character comes in as one of the lead neurologists in the nation and kind of helps him create this monster. And so it really is just like a horror play, but with a Youper twist.
Does Frankenstein have a UP accent? That's what I want to know.
Unfortunately, he does not.
Okay.
So,
he doesn't,
you know,
say much to
but
begin
there,
with.
There are some UP accents that are dropped. There's some, you know, like jokes that only Youpers or people who are familiar with the UP will understand, like, littered throughout it. So it's fun. It's a fun throwback.
That's great. Now, you're also credited as a writer on that film.
Yeah. So it was kind of like a collaborative effort. We had Dave Cairns wrote the original script. And then, like, as more of our minds got together, we just kind of all added to it, like, made some tweaks, threw out some ideas. So he was kind enough to kind of give me a writing credit with some of my ideas that nice. I had towards the film.
That's so excellent.
Yeah.
All right. So tell us, if you would, Stephanie. My guest is Stephanie Gernow. She is a UP-based actress living in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. We're talking about some of the films she's done. I just love the title, Youper Frankenstein. Is that available anywhere to see or stream?
Almost. So okay. It's still in post-production. It's almost done with the editing process. So hopefully, like, within the next couple of months, we should be doing, like, some UP theater releases for that. So,
very nice.
You know, I'll be posting on social media about that once that is actually happening.
Okay. Outstanding. Talk a little bit, if you would, Stephanie, about the limitations you have because of where you live. And, you know, you probably didn't know you were going to start film acting when you moved to or grew up in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. I don't know if you have a family now or what, but you probably have commitments that will keep you there. How do you make this work? Because obviously every movie can't be shot in Sault Ste. Marie.
Right. I have the most supportive husband. He just loves making me happy, and he knows that this makes me happy. And so I have two children. One is about to turn 18. Oh, wow. Then I've got a 15-year-old son who plays hockey, because of course you can't live in the UP and not play hockey. But you know, they all love what I do. They think it is the coolest thing ever, which I wasn't sure, especially with my kids, if, they were going to be embarrassed that mom is acting, or if they were going to think that it was cool, but they're super supportive. So some of the issues and the challenges that come with that is obviously travel. There's a lot of opportunities downstate that I find like casting calls for. And thankfully I do have some family that lives down there. So if there ever is a project that's down in that area, I can go and stay with them. But I've actually been flying out to LA to film some stuff out there. So, you know, you got to be willing to travel, especially when you live in an isolated area.
Oh, and how, sister. So let's talk about the two films you said you were filming in LA, because I think I told you, everybody I know, friends of mine who are working actors and work all the time, say the town is dead. And yeah. I've got a son looking into possibly moving out there, and everyone's like, don't come now, it's dead, it's dead. And then here, my new friend Stephanie says, oh, I'm in two movies, we're shooting them in LA. You're like the only working actress in LA. Tell us about those projects, if you would.
So I owe it all to Dustin Ferguson, who is a director, and he owns the production company called SoCal Cinemas. He is like the king of horror out there. I think he has like 162 horror movies under his belt at this point. Yeah. So I did a short for him back in earlier this year called VHS Violence. And he really liked what we did on this short. And so we've been in contact with him, and he wanted me to go out there and film some stuff with him. So I actually just got back last week for filming a movie called Life Forms 3, which will be out on Tubi this fall.
Nice.
Yeah. And then like once that was done, he was like, I got another one for you called Maneater. And I'm really excited about Maneater because Walter Phelan, who is also most commonly known as Dr. Satan in House of a Thousand Corpses, and Sue Lanier, who was in the original Wes Craven Hills Have Eyes, have also been cast in movie. Yeah. So like my teenage self is kind of freaking out right now that I get to act with such, you know, bigger named actors, because I never thought that I would be doing this at all, let alone acting with them.
Great little milestones too, when you meet people you've seen on screen, or, you know, you're like, oh my gosh, pinch me. You know, I literally just started The Hills Have Eyes about 2 weeks ago, and I got about halfway into it because I had never seen it before. So I imagine that is something that was probably something you saw quite a bit of growing up. My guest is Stephanie Gurnow. She's a UP-based actress, making it, getting it done from Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. When we come back, I want to ask you, what should we ask Stephanie Conrad?
Talk about horror movies.
Well, we're going to talk about horror movies. And I want to ask you, Stephanie, we'll do this after the break. Think about what other kind of movies you would want to do, because you've got horror down on your, I'm looking at your IMDb page right now, and you seem to have mastered that. So we'll talk about some other films when we come back. We're going to do a very short break. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Tarrant County, Texas County Commissioners approved a new county redistricting map June 3rd, diluting the votes of Black and Hispanic voters. But commissioners claim the gerrymandering was for political, not racial reasons. The map likely eliminates a majority-minority district and has drawn widespread condemnation and a Voting Rights Act lawsuit. County Commissioners and Senior County Official Judge Tim O'Hare brought in the Conservative Public Interest Legal Foundation and the National Republican Redistricting Trust to draw the map, according to reporting by Democracy Docket. Their efforts apparently manipulated the districts to gain another GOP County Commission seat and a 4-to-1 advantage. Analysis by the UCLA Voting Rights Project and Southern Methodist University found the approved map packed District 2 Black and Hispanic voters into District 1, reducing the chance a Black or Hispanic candidate would be elected in District 2. Because the county staggers election cycles for different districts, it also disenfranchised as many as 150,000 voters, heavily Black and Hispanic, who can't vote in their current district's 2026 election and must wait until 2028. Voters sued under the VRA and the 14th and 15th Amendments. The commissioners claim that they gerrymandered for political advantage, to which the Supreme Court turns a blind eye, and not racial discrimination. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill backed by Donald Trump that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uihlein. In 2018 alone, the Uihleins received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin,
chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right. You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app. Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba. We are crushing a Friday night here. A few minutes left here in hour number one before intermission. Our question tonight is in honor of Father's Day. Who was the best movie or TV dad? I said Howard Cunningham, Phil Dunphy, James Evans Sr. From Good Times, and Homer Simpson. And Conrad said, who did you say, Conrad?
Brian Mills, Liam Neeson, and Taken.
Right. That's a good one. And, of course, obviously, our own dads are our favorite. But Mike Desitel on the social media says, in modern times, I would say Lance Barber. His role and the way he portrayed it grew better with each passing season. He faced real issues in his relationship with his TV daughter and was genuinely solid, as I've seen in years. Lance Barber, obviously, was on the show Monday night. He played George Cooper on Young Sheldon and was with me in The Godfather of Green Bay. Lance is a great guy, and that's a great choice. Thank you, Mike. Nathan says Bill Cosby. What the hell is Nathan thinking?
Yeah, I think
it has to be a joke.
It's Nathan, opposite Nathan's day for the question or something. Comedian,
yeah, and Monica Hale says Robert Duvall and the great Santini. Okay, maybe not the best, but at least realistic. Oh man, that's brutal. I'm sorry to hear that, Monica. Great movie though. Thank you for the text, Monica. Always fun. All right, we have a few more minutes with our guest Stephanie Gurno. She is a Sault Ste. Marie based actress, and she is the star of many independent horror films. She just finished filming two projects in Los Angeles, and Youper Frankenstein comes out soon. You have to keep us posted, Stephanie, on when we can see Youper Frankenstein. I'm very excited to see that.
I definitely will.
All right. So who are your acting influences? Like when you grew up, you already mentioned one of them was In the Hills Have Eyes, but who did you watch growing up, and who did you think, like maybe 2 years ago when you started film acting, I want to model my career after hers or his, who did you learn from?
Honestly, like I really loved Helen Bonham Carter and just her way of being authentically these characters, over the top, you know, horror icon. Like she is my inspiration. She is who I really want to be like, and really just like all these Jamie Lee Curtis, all the classic horror Final Girls, you know?
Yeah. That's great. Those are all great. Have you ever been to Mackinac Island?
Of course. Yes. It's been a few years, but I love it out there. It's absolutely gorgeous.
That's like one of our favorite places. And I always thought that would be a great place to shoot a horror film.
I know, it's the Grand Hotel there. Yeah.
Which is supposed to be haunted anyway.
Right. So we could actually do something with that.
Definitely.
All you filmmakers out there, let me know.
Send Stephanie your ideas. Exactly. So are you a native of Sault Ste. Marie? Like, is that where you grew up?
Yeah. So I was born and raised here in Sault Ste. Marie. I moved away to the Tampa Bay area for a little while and ended up coming home to raise my family because, you know, small towns, you can't beat a small town to raise your kids.
Yeah. Like, oh, especially when it's what you know, and you had good experiences there. So that's excellent. So what other kind of acting do you want to do? Is there a role you want that's not horror related? Would you like to be in a rom-com or an action film or something?
So horror is my everything. So I would be very happy with just staying in this category. But if I had to choose something else, it would be like very drama, something very serious, or action. Like that Life Forms one, I got to kill a bunch of aliens. So awesome. That was pretty fun. Yeah, so I could do another action film.
That's great. Well, Stephanie, we'll be paying attention. Let us know when these films come out, and we'll have you back on and keep us posted about how things are going. It's been really nice getting to know you tonight.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
All right, break a leg.
Thanks.
I shouldn't say that to someone who's in horror films. that's Stephanie Gernow, folks, UP-based actress. And we should have done, Conrad, is had her do like a horror scream. We'll do that next time. You would have had to be ready for that anyway. So, all right, in just a few minutes, folks, after intermission, Steve Hostetter will be here, and we have a little sampling of his comedy. He's at the Skyline this weekend in Appleton. He's going to join us after the break, and here is a small sample of Steve's comedy from his Dry Bar special.
My trick is to bring a pillow with me, like a full bedroom pillow, every flight. And I was flying home from a gig, and I put the pillow down, I put my head down. And the flight attendant comes racing over. And she says, "You can't have a pillow in the exit row." And I said, "But I do." It appears we're at an impasse. She said, "Well, what happens if we crash?" I said, "It'll help." It's a pillow. I don't know if you know much about these, but they're soft, they float. Those are the qualities of something I'd like to bring with me to a plane crash. If I knew that we were going to crash, I could bring anything in the world. I'd bring a pillow and a second plane. Those would be the two things I'd like to have. She said, "No, what if we crash and the pillow falls? Someone has to get by it. What will you do?" I said, "Oh, in that case, I'll let them step on my pillow. Because I'm not a monster." And you'd have to be for someone to be on fire, screaming, and just say, "Could you please watch the pillow?"
That's Steve Hofstetter. He'll be here after the news. Did we give Cam a shout out for making the couch potato?
Yes.
Did we mention Cam? I know we showed the image he did, but okay. Yeah. I just want to make sure we got it.
He messaged that on the Todd Alba show.
Yeah. Which is, we talked earlier about that. That's so cool. Okay. So we're going to be back, folks. I got to read Kurt's text, though. He says, our question of the night is, who's your favorite movie or TV dad? And Kurt Kraus on the stream, watching on the stream, says, when Malcolm in the Middle came to Fox in about 1999 or 2000, we literally had friends call the house saying, you got to see this show. This is your family. They were pretty much spot on. So best TV dad is Hal, played by the brilliant Bryan Cranston. That's awesome, Kurt. Chad Fran says, hey, Pete. Hey, Chad. Thanks for listening, buddy, or watching. Dave on the stream says, dad on Shameless, William Macy. That's fantastic. All right, we're coming back. We'll read more of your texts after the news, and we'll have Steve Hofstetter here. He will be here, and it's Bar Band Friday Night. Peach Wabba Nightlight, Civic Media Radio Network. No, it just ain't easy.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Iran launches missiles into Israel, some damaging apartment buildings in Tel Aviv. CBS News contributor Robert Berger in Jerusalem.
We do have confirmation now from the Israeli defense minister that the U.S. was involved in helping down some of these missiles that were fired from Iran.
Ahead of a United Nations Security Council meeting, Israel's ambassador to the UN, Danny Danon, saying,
Israel has acted to prevent its destruction, and the world now stands at a crossroad between denial and clarity.
The White House says it is not involved in Israel's strikes on Iran, which took place last night as Israel struck the heart of Iran's nuclear and military structure, Iran's UN representative.
Among the key target was the Natanz nuclear facility, a safeguarded site under the full monitoring of the International Atomic Energy Agency.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.